Ladies and gentlemen, we'd like to welcome you to the Mesa City Council study session for March the 17th. We'd like to excuse Council Members Richens and Glover, who are absent, and hopefully enjoying a good spring break. The first item on our agenda for today is to review our agenda for our Monday morning, Monday evening meeting. So, Council, if you could take a look at that. Currently, most everything is on the consent agenda. Item three are various liquor license applications. Item four is purchase contracts. I don't mean to rush through anything. Mr. Luna.
Mayor, I just had a question on items 4F through 4I, if maybe Beth Union could come and talk to us about those.
Good morning.
Good morning, Beth.
How are you?
I just wanted to know if you could clarify what, you know, there's certain items and then there's a bid for...
What the items you're talking about are our job order contracts. They are our annual agreements that we bring to council. This is part of the process. Right now we have contracts that we can do up to 5-year extensions on. Those are within a year of expiring. And so we won't need to get some additional ones in. The current ones we're bringing in will have a 3-year term as opposed to a 5-year term, and we are adding more contractors into the mix. We want to get a larger pool of contractors that can participate in the job order contracting process. So we've expanded those, and we want some more options in those choices that we have for contractors that we use. This program was actually legislated in 2000. And most of the cities in the Valley have been using it now for several years. We began in 2012, and we have 6 contracts in place now. This is an additional, these contracts will ultimately replace those contracts that we have now today, and we'll begin using those. Plus, it gives us a little deeper bench, more contractors on contract that we can use to do that type of work. It is for small projects, less than $1 million per work order, and it's more of like an on-call type service. We do renew the contracts annually up to 3 years.
Thank you, Mr. Cavanaugh.
Yeah, and I have a question about these as well. Many times in the staff reports that we got, we also get a statement of the people who actually applied for the contracts that you're awarding, and I'm just wondering, for Monday, at least in terms of background material, if you could just at least add that as like an appendix to the, the three, so that we see who was competing.
I apologize for that. Yes, I can provide that list and attach them to the reports as well.
Wonderful. That'd be great. Thank you.
Mr. Thompson.
Beth, so this is actually increasing the number of vendors that are available for JOCs. Because when I read it, I was originally thinking, well, this is only limiting us to 2 vendors for this particular or for a JOC list, and I want to make sure that we're not limiting it. This is actually adding more vendors to the JOC.
Yes, Councilmember Thompson, you're correct. This is actually adding additional contracts.
Perfect. Thank you.
Yes, I'm sorry, Mr.
And then my last question would be on local participation. How is that integrated into our goals there?
Well, in 2 ways. As part of the selection committee criteria that they review when they select on based on qualifications, we have 5 points evaluated based on where their offices and where their businesses are located. So that's the first step in the phase. And then during the process, my staff monitor and work with the contractors to gain local participation in the contracts. We do have a goal of about 20% on these for using local vendors, material suppliers, and subs.
Thank you, Council. Thank you, Beth.
Thank you.
Council, any more questions regarding agenda item 4? I noticed we do have a letter from Attorney Sean Lake seeking a continuance on a zoning case. I'm having trouble finding that on the agenda.
Yeah, it's in 7.
I'm sorry, 7B. So we'll get to that. Anything else on agenda item 4? 5, various resolutions. 6 is setting public hearings. I'm sorry, Mr. Luna.
Thank you, Mayor. I realize that 6A is the introduction of Z15-044. I'm fine for it going on the consent. I won't be here on Monday. I will be doing city business. And then on April 4th, I'd like it off consent so we can have further discussion.
Understood. This is a big zoning case in your district, so
yes.
We'll just agree that the discussion won't be on Monday. It'll be the following day or the following meeting at the public hearing.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Agenda item 7, including 7A. I think we need to continue that. Is that right, Mr. Wesley?
Mayor, it's item 7B.
I'm sorry. Thank you. 7B.
The applicant has just had some things come up on there and they need to resolve before they move this forward. So.
Great. Thank you. Any other questions or concerns about agenda items 7? 8, again, a zoning matter. And 9, items not on the consent agenda. 16-284, a public hearing on an annexation case. Is there, do we expect folks to show up, obviously, because it's off the consent?
Mayor, Council, this is a required public hearing at the start of the annexation process. That's why it's not on consent, because we have to hold a public hearing. But it's city-owned property that we're bringing in. We don't expect anybody to be here, but it's just part of the process.
Oh, okay.
And John, this is a, I don't know if it's fair to call it a remnant piece from the 202 construction.
Freeway. Right.
Oh. So it ended up on the
other side,
outside the city. So we're bringing it back into the city.
Okay. Sounds good. Thank you. So with that exception, it looks like everything will be off the consent agenda on Monday, and everyone's okay with that. Okay. Next item on our agenda for this meeting is to hear a presentation and provide direction on a memorandum of understanding with the Arizona Board of Regents on behalf of ASU for the purpose of creating a university presence in downtown Mesa. Chris, are you going to kick this off for us? And I know we've got a lot of people here, and we've got a full room ready to talk about this, but maybe you should tee it up for us.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. So before you today providing direction to us, for the staff, to move forward with entering into this memorandum of understanding with Arizona State University. This is not unusual. We typically do the MOUs as we begin discussions for these large projects. We've done this for other projects when we built out the Cubs, other developments like that. This is intended only to be an opportunity for discussion. The MOU makes it very clear that there's no obligations to either party in these discussions, that each party is responsible for any expenses or time that it spends on the project. You see, obviously, the purpose of these discussions are to begin a conversation about how and we could work to create a plan to develop a campus, Arizona State University campus here in downtown Mesa. There's already some criteria in there about the campus being within a 5-minute walk of a light rail station between Country Club and Mesa Drive. Obviously that puts putting that in the core. The city will be responsible for identifying property and how it would fund the public infrastructure and the design and construction of facilities. Again, these are just the conversations we would have to have. And ASU during this time will be identifying the programs, as it says, academic research and entrepreneur and residential programs that would be located in the buildings that the city would be responsible for developing. So what we're looking for direction to move forward in that area, because there's a lot of time and effort that will be spent, and this planning exercise, really that's what it is in our conversations. We would expect to come back to council pretty frequently as those ideas are developed. We do mention in the MOU that we've put a deadline for ourselves to work towards an IGA, an intergovernmental agreement, that would be if the council, assuming, this would be presented to the council for your approval, that would be forwarded to the Board of Regents for their approval, which then would further provide more specifics and details about the obligations of each party if we were to move forward with establishing a downtown campus. And even after that, there would be a tremendous amount of additional work after that. So this is kind of a progressive. This is like the first step in our discussions and moving towards an IGA, with the idea that We're working towards this intergovernmental agreement, which puts more specifics, identifies more specific obligations and responsibilities. I think before the IGA, we would have from ASU a more clear understanding of the specific types of programs that they would be bringing to Mesa, to downtown Mesa. And we would then, working with the council, identify the buildings where they might go, the facilities where they would be located in this area. I know, also just add to this, I know while we're talking about this is an MOU with ASU, I know the mayor's expressed interest, and maybe, Mayor, you may want to cover some point, also looking at the other higher education institutions in downtown and how we could address some of their physical facility needs also as part of this process.
Yes, thank you very much, and I'm sure that'll come up here in just a moment. We do have folks from a lot of people in the room that have requested to speak, so if you don't mind, we'll just start working our way through this. But let's start, if you don't mind, I'd like to invite the folks from ASU to come up. Thank you very much for being here. We have Rick Neymark and Rich Stanley, gentlemen. Thank you for all the good discussions we've had to this point that have led us to this point. You both got great perspectives on this. I'll just say, Rick, I don't know you well, but if you don't mind, I'll introduce you. Rick works at Arizona State University, but more importantly, before this job, he was the assistant city manager at the city of Phoenix during the critical time when the ASU campus was established in downtown Phoenix. So his experience is extremely relevant to the conversation because, in my mind, part of what we're trying to do is recreate the what happened in downtown Phoenix, or at least begin those discussions. But having said that, gentlemen, thank you for being here. Please tell us, give us the ASU perspective on this MOU, if you would, please.
Yes. Is this on? Okay.
Yes, sorry. You're doing great.
There's a lot of buttons here. so thank you. Appreciate the ability to come and talk to you. Chris Brady said, this is the beginning of a process, and we need, and I think for us, for our point of view, in each of these arrangements that we make with municipalities or other partners, it's important for us to work through finding a common ground where we can develop a project which is beneficial to both parties, and we're very cognizant of the need to find the things that are important to Mesa and to the development of its downtown, and then find ways in which we can both support those things, but also develop, but also provide facilities and programs that benefit the university. And if we don't come up with a solution that has that all of those elements in it, then I think we will have failed in the process that I envision, at least. Downtown Mesa presents a very, very interesting and positive opportunity for us. In the same way that the city of Phoenix's decision to extend the light rail, to build the light rail system, which connected the Tempe campus with the downtown, Mesa's decision to extend the light rail system down into the downtown is absolutely crucial to our thinking about the ability of the university to put a facility in Mesa. We're at the very early stages now of thinking through, although we are developing a very long list within the university of the things that are possible that we think would be successful in downtown Mesa and would contribute to downtown Mesa's development. We're really at the early stages of the process of coming up with the kinds of things that we would want to do. Generically, I will describe them as a combination of academic programs, mostly on the smaller specialized graduate program side, rather than we are not in a position to talk about entire schools moving into downtown Mesa, but there are a range of specialty graduate programs in the social services, in business, in areas of that sort that we think could be very successful in downtown Mesa. We have a growing research program that is growing outside, that we cannot accommodate in Tempe in a variety of areas. What we want to do is we want to find research areas that can move large numbers of graduate students and faculty and have consolidated critical mass levels of laboratories, but that also are programs that we would hope would tend to support economic development and company spinouts, and therefore the kind of entrepreneurial spaces that we would want to have for students, as well as for the public entrepreneurs, and have that as a part of one of the elements that would become distinctive in Mesa for the as the city is developing and the private sector is developing other things in downtown Mesa. The residential programs that are possible in Mesa, I think we are still working through and trying to determine whether or not it makes sense for it to be a piece of this project, or whether or not, as we have done with many of our recent student residential projects, we work with the private sector, and then the university becomes a partner with the private sector in developing residence halls. That may well be the model that's better than trying to do it as a piece of a single facility. We're very flexible in thinking about facilities. I am open to discussions of a few smaller buildings as opposed to a single building to accommodate all of this. I think it needs to be consolidated. It needs to be located in a way that makes sense from that has a bit of a campus feel to it, and that is not just completely spread out around downtown. But I think there are different ways to skin this cat to get what we want to do. All of these are things that we'll start. We have been talking about with the city's management, and we're talking about intensively internally. This will now ramp up our level of discussions and the speed and pace of the discussions, so that we can be ready for the June deadline that the MOU is calling for.
Okay. Thank you.
I can just add a couple of other points, both based on my experience in downtown Phoenix, but also just the opportunities I see here for us as partners. The university presence in an area, as you know, just from your investment already in some higher educational opportunities, is really a transformative opportunity for a community. It gives you an opportunity, number one, to provide more access and direct access for the people of Mesa and surrounding areas to higher education, of course. But secondarily, building on your other investments in your downtown and transit and other measures, when you couple that with investment in higher education, you're really creating a beautiful mix that will help the economic revitalization and the physical revitalization of the community. And we've seen that tremendously in Phoenix. Now, it's not just ASU all by itself. It's ASU combined with transit and other types of investments. So, and the other thing that really brings is more of a 24-hour presence there, because people begin to want to live and move back into central part of the city. You're already seeing that happening now with your prior investments, but the university presence can also help to add to that, and that really helps to create a very vibrant area. The other thing I just want to say is, wherever ASU is not just a resident of your community. We tend to be community partners wherever we are, and downtown Phoenix is a fantastic opportunity or a fantastic model of how that has worked. ASU is very embedded in the downtown Phoenix community, connects with businesses, the city, and other entities, and helps to partner on making the community a better place. So we look forward to that kind of collaboration with you.
If I might add one thing, I'm sorry. I should have mentioned before. We have a very powerful presence in Mesa already in the form of the Polytechnic campus. There is nothing about what we would be planning to do in downtown Mesa which will cause us to take our eye off of that ball. There are substantial development opportunities in the research park that we're thinking about on the southern part of the campus. There are programmatic developments at that campus that will continue to have the enrollment growing there. And so we are definitely want to be absolutely sure that whatever we do in Mesa and elsewhere does not take away from our ability to build a Polytechnic campus. We need that to continue to grow and be successful.
Great. Thank you very much, gentlemen. Council, any questions for these folks? Yes, Mr. Luna.
When you worked in Phoenix, did you have any arrangements with private, other private institutions of higher learning, for example? I know that University of Arizona is partnering with St. Joseph's, and they have that relationship. Is that something that you might want to consider as you move forward?
Yes, so in downtown Phoenix, we did not have any partnerships with other private institutions. A number of years ago, we had extensive discussions in Goodyear prior to the recession concerning of the possibility of an ASU location in Goodyear. And we had detailed discussions with Franklin Pierce College, which had already relocated some of its programs into Goodyear. And we were discussing the sharing of a facility in Goodyear. So we're completely open to those kinds of arrangements. Currently, we have an academic relationship with the University of Mary in Tempe, in which our students take for credit some of their courses in, particularly in religious studies, that they have a strength in that we don't have in. And so all of those things are completely possible and on the table in these discussions.
And I would, Mayor, Councilman, I'd just add one thing, that we have done a survey of what's already here in terms of higher education resources, and you all have really done a good job of bringing some very interesting programs here. And our intent is not to compete with those programs. And it's very possible that we might provide a graduate level program that would be a great, you know, move for somebody who's taking an undergraduate program already here. So our intent is not to bring something here that's already here and might compete with in some way what you've already invested in.
Great. So obviously we're at the beginning of these conversations, and per the terms of the MOU, prior to our deadline in June, we will flesh out all of the details, including what programs, what the buildings will look like, what they're going to cost, where they're going to be, all of the details that people need to make a reasonable, intelligent decision on going forward on this. But can you tell us at this point, is there what's the rough idea as to the scope of the facility, the size in terms of... just to kind of tee that up so the public knows what to... We don't want to set expectations too high or too low.
Right. I would say it's early in the process for us to be specific about that, in this, because I think that it's important that as we talk about together between what the possibilities are, that we find the things that Mesa finds useful as well as the university finding useful, and that the scale should be determined by that. I think the maximum size of the facility that we'd be talking about would be something in the range of 200,000 square feet, but I think that's at the upper end of the range that we've been talking about in our preliminary planning. But I don't set that as a specific goal. I think our goal is to find the right programs that have both immediate impact and the capacity to grow. I think what we'll want to build is something which has the capacity to grow over a number of years and not be filled up on the first day, and which provides both the ability to put programs in that have growth potential, but it also allows us to have some flexibility that as new things emerge at the university that makes sense for downtown Mesa, that we'll have the flexibility to make a decision that as that program starts, that we can put it there and not be in a position where we don't have the space to do it.
Okay, great. Gentlemen, thank you very much. I know there's a lot of folks that want to have a word on this, so we'll kind of start working our way through that process. I took the liberty of inviting Mr. Graham to come and share his thoughts on this. John, would you mind stepping up? For those of you who don't know Mr. Graham, he's developing the large piece of property in downtown Mesa that was formerly Brown & Brown Chevrolet, so literally a city block plus in our downtown. So in this, Mr. Graham, I know you've had a lot of development experience with ASU and with transit-oriented development in downtown Mesa, so I thought your perspective on this might be particularly useful to us. So thank you for accepting my invitation to come this morning.
Thank you, Mayor, and Mayor and Council. Thank you for letting me address you. My company is Sunbelt Holdings, and we do large-scale land development, mostly master-planned communities, but have really taken a pivot and doing a substantial amount of work in urban areas, specifically in downtown Phoenix. We're developing a 149-unit, 14-story condominium building. I own a building downtown that we're repositioning downtown Phoenix, and we're also going to do an 88-unit development called Barrister Place in downtown Phoenix. And then the other thing that we're doing that's hard to miss if you drive on the 202 is we're developing the State Farm facility on Tempe Town Lake, which is a little over 2 million square feet for State Farm insurance. So the relevance of all that is that we are smitten with the more urban world out there. I think that downtown Mesa's got more potential than any city in Arizona at this point, for many reasons, and is well positioned. And hopefully, the fact that we've purchased property is proof to that. But I just want to speak to ASU specifically, is that I've had a very long-term relationship with them, including since 1992. We've done the development and marketing of the ASU Research Park, and we are down to two parcels. And ASU is certainly looking at expanding at Polytechnic, and for good reasons, but that's been very successful. But the bottom line is that if you look at what I call the secret sauce, in my mind, to these really, really vibrant downtowns, especially being Tempe and City of Phoenix, has been the addition of ASU, especially downtown, that it does create the 24/7 vibrancy. They are completely embedded in the communities. They do play well with others. I see nothing but great things that can come out of this relationship, and know firsthand how good and easy they are to work with. And then the last part is that just what I view my role, other than trying to do great development in your great city, is that I view myself as kind of the Pied Piper and the biggest cheerleader that you guys have to bring other people out here. As I tell people, our success will be based upon the success of others. So bringing other people out here to develop and do great things is first and foremost in my mind and on our agenda. So I just would encourage you to, in my mind, embrace the opportunity, take this to the next level to see if something can work for all parties. And I can promise you, in my mind, you'll be everybody will be a huge winner. Thank you.
Thank you, John. If you don't mind, I think you're kind of in the middle of the development community. I know you partner with a lot of other developers on a lot of the projects that you've mentioned and on others. It seems to me that it's since the discussion of ASU has come up that there's been more, frankly, more interest in downtown Mesa. Parcel 17, for example, people are coming to us saying, you don't need to do an RFP, we'll just buy that from you, and other discussions. I don't want to overstate the intangible influence of ASU or the ripple effect of having someone like ASU in downtown. So I'm capable of overstating a lot of things. But give us a development perspective, development community perspective. Is this the type of an anchor in our downtown that would create buzz and would hopefully create other people coming to downtown wanting to do things?
The very short answer is yes, but what I see is the energy and excitement about downtown Mesa is palpable in our world. And I'd tell you that, you know, if you went back a few years, it was not even on the radar screen. So I think that like everything, there's a time and a place for things to happen. And I think the time and the place is here. And without question, this thought of ASU coming to downtown Mesa has created a massive buzz in the community.
Okay. Thank you. Council, any questions for Mr. Graham? Thank you, John, and thank you for all you're doing in downtown Mesa. We look forward to big things.
My pleasure. Thank you for letting us be here.
Thank you. Before we get to the blue cards, I have to say I've also invited Joe Wilson to come. Joe is administrator at Benedictine, a very familiar face to us all. Joe, thank you for coming today. I was interested in hearing, of course, that we are very protective and enjoy a great relationship with Benedictine, and want to make sure that any of these discussions are done in a very complimentary way with Benedictine. So I appreciate your being here and sharing the perspective that you might have on this.
Well, I appreciate Aaron and council member in allowing us to do this. As you know, I am the special assistant to our CEO at Benedictine University, and Charlie Gregory, he sends his apologies. He was not able to be here this morning. And so on his behalf, he has written a statement he'd like me to give to you, and then I'll be happy to answer any questions following that. So his statement to the council and the board is, Benedictine University is very proud of its current successes, commitment, in partnership with the City of Mesa. As part of that partnership, we want to further educational opportunities for our residents. If ASU can add to the expansion and delivery of educational programs, we certainly encourage furthering these opportunities for our citizens. However, we hope and anticipate the City of Mesa and its leadership will support furthering Benedictine's growth and presence with vigor, resources, and commitment equal to others. So that was his statement. I'll be happy to answer anything or provide you any other further information on it.
Great. Thank you very much. Council, any questions?
Okay.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you
for being here. And please thank Charlie for sending the message. We appreciate it. I also know that Senator Worsley is present. Senator Worsley, thank you. I know that this is a busy time for you with the legislature in session, but we appreciate you and Mrs. Worsley have been very engaged in all things downtown and in development issues downtown, so we appreciate your perspective on this issue.
Thank you. Thank you, Mayor and City Council. As you know, we've been working very hard for 3 or 4 years to try to come up with a vision and a personality for downtown Mesa that has been an attempt for decades after the freeways were put in and really Main Street became kind of left behind with the regional malls and the freeways. And I firmly believe that ASU being involved in our downtown area will accelerate the vision that you had by bringing Wilkes and Benedictine. These young people bring vibrancy that us older people just can't bring. And it's been proven. Phoenix built stadiums, ballparks, and did tremendous things, spent billions of dollars. And it wasn't until ASU went to downtown Phoenix that any of those things really took root. And I love what we've done at Wrigleyville and other things with the A's and Hohokam, but these are sporadic injections of people. The pageant this week at the temple, these are sporadic, episodic excursions of people coming. We need people, and we especially need millennials in our downtown area that live there, that play there, that work there, or we will not see, no matter how many bronzes and other nice things we do along Main Street, it will never become vibrant until we interject this youthfulness and artistic talent of these people, creative talent, entrepreneurialism. We need that, or it won't happen. It won't come together. We all love what's happening in Gilbert. I think we can be 10 times the success story. I've been to Tucson. I've seen what the streetcar did. And, you know, my wife and I tease about this all the time. I put a set of plans in front of her on the home that we were going to build 10 years ago. And some people, you know, my wife is one. She can't really see from a set of blueprints what this means and what this home will feel like. It actually has to be built. And I think we're all a little frustrated that light rail came and we didn't have cranes. And it's because most people really can't understand what this means until they see it and they ride it and they experience it. Well, it's now here. And so I think it's the time where people can actually experience what downtown Mesa can be. And we can beat ourselves up that we didn't have this all going a year before the light rail was finished. But the reality is most people can't get behind it, support it, until it's a reality. And so we have a great opportunity with that infrastructure in place being used to now take it to the next level. And I think ASU is a very important part of taking this next step. And I encourage you to work very hard in the next 2 months and see if you can get an IGA done with them.
Thank you very much, Senator. Thank you for being here.
Any questions?
Any questions for Senator Worsley? No. Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. We know how busy you are. I appreciate you being here. I do have several cards of folks that want to speak out on this, so we'll just start in. First one I have is Kelly Smith. Kelly, thank you for being here. If you would please state your name. We already know you're Kelly Smith, but for the record, tell us your Kelly Smith again and your address, and then you have 3 minutes to speak. But thank you for being here.
My name is Kelly Smith. My address is 1646 North Chestnut Circle in Mesa. Thank you, Council, for having me here. I'm representing the Project Downtown Mesa as a group of citizens who have assembled online with the specific goal of getting restaurant growth and development here in the downtown area. Foodies, others that tend to be younger people. I think it's the ones that Senator Worsley's talking about. We want to be here downtown on weeknights and weekends. There's thousands of us. And as we discuss, I haven't talked to all, you know, several thousand personally about this, but the core team that's making decisions about how to move ahead is very excited about the potential of ASU. So we're strong supporters. I would just echo what's been said. 24/7 people is really the key here. So as we think about how this goes down and what happens, we'd like to see graduate students, and we'd like to see faculty, and you know, undergraduates weren't mentioned, but young people here that will eat at 8 p.m. at a restaurant, because we feel like that's going to bolster the type of vitalization that we need here. And then the other hat that I wear is I'm a local tech entrepreneur, you know, as a technology person, and wanting to see that that system growing. Anything that could come from an ASU partnership along those lines, I personally welcome that, and I know lots of others that feel the same way. So that's all.
Great. Thank you very much, Kelly. I can't let you leave without thanking you for Code Club. Kelly, give us a 30-second commercial on Code Club.
Code Club is a very simple idea. It's young people right here at the Mesa Public Library is where we started in 2013, teaching themselves computer programming. And so they'll have adults there in the room helping them, but really self-driven, self-guided learning. It's been a very fun experiment. We're now at 34 libraries around the state of Arizona, and just starting in other states as well. So we're reaching thousands of kids now, and these are, you know, future Mark Zuckerbergs and things like that. So.
Well, thank you very much. Kel is an MIT-trained engineer, and he volunteers his time creating a program to teach coding to kids at the Mesa Public Library. So thank you for creating that program. Sean Huntington. Thank you for being here, Sean.
Thank you for having me.
Again, your name and address in 3 minutes.
Perfect.
Thank you.
My name is Sean Huntington. I live at 617 East First Avenue here downtown Mesa. I represent Cowork Mesa, a project that really happened as I moved back to Mesa from Provo, Utah for 2 or 3 years. While I was attending Brigham Young University, I was working on a startup. I went through a business accelerator called Boom Startup with my startup, and then BYU's business accelerator the summer after that. And I really was able to see how I worked at a co-working space, the startup building in downtown Provo. BYU is very close to the downtown, but they positioned themselves to be kind of in the heart of the startup ecosystem that was starting to grow, and there's so many amazing things happening there in Provo, and BYU, seeing that opportunity, was able to help facilitate entrepreneurs such as myself to go through a program to receive some funding and grow my business. My startup inevitably failed, and I learned a lot from that experience. But now, moving back to Arizona, I was actually in my U-Haul driving home, and I had this overwhelming feeling that I needed to build the startup building in downtown Mesa. A co-working environment where entrepreneurs such as myself, creatives, as ASU gentlemen talked about, the need for entrepreneurial programs and help to facilitate these students that are moving downtown, that want to start their business, that need help and support. I'm here to say that there is a huge opportunity in co-working, and the more the word has got out, I keep meeting people at conferences and events that have heard of Cowork Mesa. Right now it's just a website and an idea, but the groundswell is pretty large, and we're really excited for the opportunity of ASU coming to downtown and what that would do for the co-working space. As that builds out, there's going to have a need for kind of foundation on them coming down and having this culture and this community of entrepreneurs and millennials and tech people will be, I believe, an exciting, mutually beneficial part of downtown as it continues to grow.
Great. Thank you very much, Sean. Appreciate
you
being here.
Yeah.
Brian Jeffries. I have to confess I invited Brian to come as well, but Brian, thank you for filling out a card. Another familiar face. Thank you for being here, Brian.
Glad to be here. Good morning, Mayor and Council. It's good to see everybody. Thanks for letting me come up today. Brian Jeffries, I'm the president of the Firefighters Association, as well as East Valley Firefighter Charities. And come to you today not only as a community organization, but also as downtown property owners. And I cannot tell you how excited we are about the fact that you all are bringing this leadership to downtown Mesa and beginning this conversation. I vividly remember the very first time I was driving in downtown Phoenix, and I looked over to my right, and I saw several college students laying in an area of grass reading their books with their backpacks next to them. I couldn't believe it. It was so tremendous to see that happen and to see everything that happened as a result of ASU coming into the downtown area. And so, on the way over here today, I thought to myself, my God, you know, maybe there'll come a day we'll see those same students attending multiple educational institutions here in downtown Mesa. Who knows, maybe a Sun Devil could someday be on the city council or even be mayor. I mean, stranger things have happened.
Wow.
But lots of great things have been said. Lots of good people here to present. I just want to let you know, we're thankful that you're having this conversation. We're very supportive. We know what this could mean for the downtown community and for Mesa as a whole. And as a community organization that gets very much involved in campaigns and community efforts, I want you to know that we would be very excited about the opportunity if this takes some type of public engagement, speaking with voters, getting out there in the community, whether we have to take a vote. Who knows what this package could end up being like with the great work that you're going to do. But we would be all in to help support this effort on a community-wide basis to help support making this thing happen. So thank you for letting me speak today.
Thank you, Brian, and thank you for all the firefighters do in our community. David Short.
Good morning, Mayor, Vice Mayor, Council. David Short, I'm Director of the Downtown Mesa Association, and I'm here this morning on behalf of our Executive Committee, who are in full support of seeing this process move forward. We're really excited about the possibilities. We've seen the benefits of having Benedictine and MCC, NAU, and Wilkes in the downtown area and see this helping the vibrancy that we all hope and wish for. We look forward to taking this to the full board once there's more details and information released for their support as well. But this is the type of project the investment in light rail was done to attract into the downtown area. You know, we only see positives from it, and I look forward to being back in front of you in the future for the full board support.
Great. Thank you. We look forward to sharing the details with you, and thank you for all the DMA does in our downtown. Appreciate it. D. Montague.
Good morning. D. Montague. I live 553 North Orange Street. Been there for a long time. Since Johnny was as a Boy Scout.
I'm not saying anything.
Okay. I also am a member of the steering committee of Mesa Grande Community Alliance and also a member of the long-term planning committee of the Action Neighborhood Association, Alliance, I guess, as they call it. One of the discussions have been taking place since your announcement of the possibility of ASU coming. Generally, there's excitement. Carolyn Crandall, member of EVIT board, sitting by me, is very excited for it to come. The reservations that have been expressed have been that we do make sure that this development and all development preserve the historic character of downtown, that we not completely wipe away. I've enjoyed watching what's happened in Phoenix at the ASU campus. I have two granddaughters who have had a majority of their classes there. When they miss the light rail, they call grandpa. Retired grandpa drives them to school. Or retired grandpa picks them up from school if they're too late. And I've seen that growth over the last 3 or 4 years. It's been a very, very good partnership. I think that we've long had dreams of the light rail lifting and bringing renewed vibrancy to downtown. This appears to me to be a great opportunity for that. We we hope that it'll, the housing that it brings will be high-end housing. That'll be something that if the researchers, the professors, we all know how rich professors are, of course, but bring them into the presence and an opportunity to live there would be good. We want to make sure that one of the goals that I see and feel that's needed in talking with people at MCC and at Westwood, I'm on the Westwood Parents Committee, higher education needs to become more affordable. And I don't know if this will make it more affordable or not, but I sure hope that that would be a goal. I talked with President Cameron, the Dean of the Business College at MCC. The enrollment is declining. Cost is a huge factor for the demographic of MCC, which he describes as about a 6 or 7 mile radius as their attendance area. It's declining. Cost is a factor. I'd like to see something to partnership and help boost and maintain the great investment that the community has in MCC as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Dee. David Crummy. No? Okay, David is passing. Jennifer Duff. Oh, I'm sorry. You want to talk on the next topic. I apologize. You're right. 2B. Thank you for being here, Jennifer.
Thank you very much for having me this morning. Good morning, Mayor, Council, staff. I'm Jen Duff. I live at 146 West 2nd Street. I'm a downtown Mesa business owner, resident, and a founding member of the Rail Group. One of the reasons that I created the Rail Group is so that the community in downtown had an active voice outside of business, outside of the city, and in what we wanted to see since we were here, you know, supporting it and care passionately about it. And we're the biggest advocates for the development in downtown. So I would like to voice my support as part of as a rail member in that group and as being active in downtown. I think it's very important that we support progressive ideas that bring progressive young minds that will keep our city in generations to come evolving and progressing to the next step. So I think this is very much in our alignment with our values of education. We've made that through our HEAT initiative for higher education, invited universities, and I think that's an extension of that. And I encourage us to continue with that value that we set some years ago. So I am in support of opening that agreement and taking the next step to take it to the next level. Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much for coming and sharing that, Jennifer. Okay, those are all the cards I have. Council, any discussion on this? Yes, Mr. Thompson.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the MOU moving forward because I think it opens up a great possibility for us to sit down and look at this and talk through how this can work and how we can make it work for our community. You know, my concern still continues to be the funding mechanism, and I'm hopeful that we can find a way to fund this because I've heard numbers anywhere from 60 million to 80 million, could be higher, don't know, but it's about the funding piece and where our priorities are as a city, and what kind of debt service and burden we want to place on our citizens to finance something like this. But that being said, I look forward to moving this forward and having those discussions. Like Joe, I want to make sure that we're not forgetting our partners that we invited here. So we need to continue to watch Wilkes and Benedictine and make sure that they are successful in our community as well.
Thank you. Mr. Cavanaugh and then Mr. Luna.
Thank you, Mayor. I do support moving ahead with the discussions on this potential agreement. And I'm coming from a perspective that really has several different facets. So over the past 20 years, I've had kind of different hats I've worn, different experiences I've encountered in projects like this. And so my thoughts are kind of formed by looking back our relationship with Arizona State University at Polytech. That, from my perspective, that goes back 20 years. And we have developed a very good, positive relationship, an equitable relationship in terms of investment by both parties, providing a great benefit to the community. I've been involved in light rail for almost as long, and I'm a past chair of the rail board and currently on the board. And in that capacity, I've seen the development throughout the metro area, but particularly looking at the impact of what ASU Downtown has done. And there's no question of the positive role and impact there. Several years ago, I attended a very interesting conference in Evanston, Illinois, talking about the roles and relationships between cities and universities in downtown, because, the pattern of those relationships across the country can be very interesting, can be very beneficial, can be very challenging. And one of the key takeaways from that conference is that when there is a partnership, there has to be an equality of partnership and an understanding of the community needs, an understanding of the university needs. And neither one has priority over the other. That's where you've had challenges in communities. And I think the experience we've had with ASU Poly shows us that we can do it the right way. The experience that we've had over the last 7 years with the colleges and universities coming into Mesa and coming into downtown sets a very good template on how to develop an equitable relationship in terms of either acquiring facilities, building facilities, having partners with them, but also having reasonable arrangements for space. Space doesn't come for free these days. We don't do a dollar leases. And so I'm hoping that as part of the discussions that we do, again, that's part of the mix, because the whatever agreement we have must be fair to the residents both of Mesa and to the residents of Arizona because of the communities we both represent. So there is a tremendous amount of potential with this. And I know that Arizona State is committed to developing a program and a purpose for downtown that would be complementary to the other educational institutions that we have here, because I think that's a priority for all of us. And I think it provides a great opportunity for partnerships with those other institutions, because that's really the key word and the byword across this country for institutions to be successful is partnering with other public entities, partnering with other private entities. And I think we have all the ingredients for a good dish. And the other thing I've learned from the past 20 years is coming to agreement in all the terms in a development agreement is never an easy process. We have to take the stars out of our eyes and focus on the goal, but with a realistic approach and a fair discussion among the parties. So I'm glad that we're moving ahead. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Luna.
Mayor and colleagues, I think this is a great idea. I'm certainly going to support moving it forward. Certainly, I have the same concerns as my colleagues, as they cited. I appreciate what Brian Jeffrey says in terms of the activity that causes in the downtown area in Phoenix. This is something that we also need in the city of Mesa. And I also appreciate that ASU's commitment towards working with our higher institutions of learning. We have Benedictine, we have Wilkes, and they certainly offer wonderful programs within our city of Mesa. I think when this announcement went out, I obviously work in education. Within the education circles, everyone was effusive. They were so excited that ASU was going to potentially be part of our community. And to me, that's very exciting, because our commitment towards education has been foundational in terms of who we are as a community. So I appreciate it. I want this MOU to move forward, and let's see where it takes us.
Great. Thank you. Mr. Printer.
Thank you. I'm really excited about this. I'm as excited as I was when they said we're taking the old Southside Hospital. We're bringing in a top-notch university in Benedictine, watching them grow. These are good things. We've had some rough times over the last 8 years with the Great Recession, and so really optimistic. I would say, and I was trying not to be too cute with this, but I think the Sun Devil's in the details. And so as the details roll forward, wow. Yeah, I thought about doing devil in details.
Twitter is already lighting up right now.
And I'm actually excited to see the details. I think are going to be amazing when we have these top-notch folks here, and they realize the reservations and the concerns and the amounts involved. And in our city manager, this is his forte. He knows how to get these things done and work with councils, and he has a great reputation for doing that. So I think everything's in place for something really amazing to happen. So I'm looking forward to being wowed when they come back and say, here's a win-win for everyone. So looking forward to it. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. I think everyone knows I'm a big fan of this idea. The more I think about it, the more sense it makes. I see ASU presidents in downtown Mesa not necessarily as a separate campus even from Tempe because of our proximity to one another. It's almost really an extension of the downtown of the Tempe campus as opposed to some sort of satellite. The congestion that is now on the Tempe campus, the convenience and proximity of downtown Mesa to the ASU campus, I think the light rail in large part already is an ASU shuttle. If you go to the park and rides in downtown Mesa early in the morning, what you're going to see is ASU kids coming and parking their cars and going to class. Frankly, when I use the light rail, it's to go to ASU functions. My son and I take it to sporting events, ASU. And a lot of times when we're on the light rail going to ASU functions, I feel like I'm on the New York City subway. It's packed. So it doesn't take a lot of imagination. Really, what it takes is a keen eye for the obvious to see that there's a connection between ASU and downtown Mesa and the light rail. So I think this is just acknowledging the reality that is already present. I love the idea of kind of doubling down on the efforts of previous years of this council of the theme of higher education in downtown Mesa. And that means not just ASU, that means the other great partners that we've enlisted so far as well. But one of the complaints I hear from our existing partners is that there's not really an atmosphere in downtown Mesa that attracts college students. So I think bringing in a major presence like ASU is going to turn that around and will create the atmosphere that will allow those other institutions really to reach their potential as well. Without ASU, that's going to continue to be an ongoing struggle. So for all that, but as has the devil is in, Sun Devil is in the details, there we go. We're at the beginning stages of this, and so all of these, what this is going to be is yet to be decided, and it's being discussed right now, and we need to have, frankly, ASU a very attractive use for downtown. If we don't, I could see ultimately deciding that thanks but no thanks. You know, we need something that's really going to be a reason for us to get behind the excitement and something that we can sell to our community. So I look forward to our discussions over the next couple of months to flesh out exactly what that's going to be. And then the last thing that I'll add is in discussions with ASU, certainly the idea of housing has come up. As we know, right now there's a lot of pressure in our community, economic pressure to do low-income tax credit housing along the light rail corridor. That's a very lucrative business, and people can come. We could fill up our light rail corridor with low-income tax credit housing. I think we wisely have acknowledged that, and we've taken a slowdown approach to that. I think the same could be true of student housing. If we have an ASU facility in downtown Mesa, there's going to be tremendous pressure to have a lot of student housing. We need to be thoughtful at the beginning of this process as to what amount and what type, faculty, graduate student housing. There's a lot of things that I think would be a perfect fit, a great plus for our downtown. And certainly younger student housing, I think, has an appropriate place as well. All of that pressure is going to be created if we are successful in creating a presence in downtown Mesa. So let's just acknowledge that and be thoughtful and take a planning attitude towards that at the outset as well. So for all those reasons, I join with my colleagues in looking forward to beginning these discussions with ASU. The way this is agendized on our agenda, we need a motion, and the motion would be to authorize the city manager to enter into the memorandum of authority. It's been moved and seconded. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you very much. Thank you for everyone who came, and thank you particularly to our friends from ASU for being here this morning. The next item on our agenda, which I know also has a great deal of community interest, is item 2B. It's to hear a presentation and provide direction on a request for proposals from Chicanos por la Casa Incorporated for the development of approximately 2.5 acres on the northwest corner of Country Club Drive and Main Street. Mr. McVeigh, thank you for being here. Tell us about this proposal.
Good morning, Mayor, Council. Happy St. Patrick's Day. This is a response to a request for proposals that the city released late last year. Responses came in early this year, and we have the response, I should say, not responses. This is for the northwest corner of Country Club of Maine, of course, a very infamous site in the city of Mesa's history, but one in which we have great potential and great great opportunity to really make an impact, a positive impact for downtown Mesa. Originally, we had intended to have some direction from this, but we would like to change that, present this, get council's feedback on the proposal itself, give us an opportunity to go out to the community, present this proposal to the community, and come back to you at a later date for more concrete direction. The site, as the mayor has noted, is approximately 2.5 acres. There are three property owners, Mesa being the largest of the three property owners. The other two, Redstone Investments, is a investment company that is managed by Ken Lenhart of Lenhart's Ace Hardware, and the third property owner is Randy Bailey. I put this up here simply to draw attention to the fact that this RFP was in partnership with all three property owners. We made sure to go out all the way through this process, engage them, make sure that they were fully aware of it, that they're on board with, and that they're willing partners to move forward. Now, that doesn't say that they have committed to sell their properties, but it has said that they have committed to be a partner and work proactively with the city to find a appropriate development and appropriate solution to their ownership. In addition to that, I'd like to remind the council of the policies that we already have in place as it relates to this site. The Central Maine Plan being one of those, which recognizes the prominence of this site by designating this as Urban Gateway. The Form-Based Code, which designates this as the T5 Main Street. Both of those are adopted policies by council that state that we are after an urban intense development that provides an active streetscape and supports the broader downtown. Now, should this be developed in that manner, it would also be very supportive of the recent downtown vision created by the Downtown Vision Ad Hoc Committee. They had 12 key priorities for the downtown area. Development of this site in an urban transit-oriented development pattern would support 5 of those 12 key priorities. Now, on to the actual response itself, the proposal. It is for a 218,000 square foot, 5-story apartment mixed, 218,000, 5-story, 200 units, 20,000 square feet of ground floor retail, developed in 2 phases, the first phase being 80 units, and that would be primarily along the Main Street frontage, and then the second phase being 120 units, which would primarily be to the north and along the Country Club frontage. This is a depiction of the site plan to get you a sense of how this would build out. Generally speaking, first phase would be this area here along with these buildings on the side, and the second phase would be this larger building on the north side. It does include structured parking. It would start with a surface parking lot as the first phase. The second phase would include a structured parking, and then the building would build on top of that structure. As part of the RFP, we included several review criteria that we wanted the proposals to respond to. First in that, it would be the consistency with our adopted plans and policies. Second is the return and benefit to the city of Mesa. Third being the qualifications of the team, their business plan, and their financial capacity. I've included some of the responses. These are from the development team and their proposals specifically. This is where, as it's not the Sun Devils in the details, but this would be the devils in the details as well, where all of these things would have to be flushed out as we move forward, if we move forward with this proposal. Now, I do have time for some discussion, but if Mayor and Council, if you're willing to defer that for a little while, I'd like to invite the Chicanos Por La Causa team up to present to the Council and give you a sense of who they are and their vision for this site as well.
Yes, thank you. Please do.
Good morning.
Morning. Good morning and welcome. I know we already have a Chicanos por la Casa is no stranger to Mesa, Arizona. Thank you for the good things that you're doing already in our community.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you for this proposal as well.
Great. Thank you. Good morning as well. I want to just thank the council, the mayor, City of Mesa for the opportunity to sort of present our proposal as well for our proposal for Country Club of Maine, as well as an opportunity to sort of introduce ourselves as well as our team. My name is Nick Smith. I'm the Director of Real Estate Development and Design for Chicanos por la Casa. Prior to joining CPLC, I ran my own development company in downtown Phoenix, focused on design and development on infill and downtown projects. And before that, I worked for Arizona State University. And through the Vice President's Office of the Initiatives, we assisted municipalities with the planning, development, and implementation of city-owned assets at newly constructed and future planned light rail locations. The organization I represent is a nearly 50-year-old... It's a nearly 50-year-old company with nearly 900 employees founded locally here in Arizona. Our mission is to build stronger, healthier communities, and the key to the successes we have had towards achieving this goal has always been in the alliances and strategic partnerships that we've created. And we'll bring the same philosophy and approach to the development at this location. And it all begins with a strong partner in the city of Mesa. The city's forward-thinking planning efforts, affirmed by the voters, clearly outlines the desires and type of built environment you want in your downtown. We will work together to come up with the best solution that best embodies these aspirations, creates the walkable, bikeable destination you desire, and maximizes the millions of dollars of investments that have already been made in your downtown. We believe we are the right partners to help set this high bar for future development at this critical location, at this critical time in Mesa's transformation. I wanted to spend the next few slides sort of telling you a little bit more about who we are. However, before I do that, and since we're on the topic of high-quality partnerships, and since we have Mr. Winslow here, I wanted to give him an opportunity to tell you a little bit about sort of our approach to the proposal. Paul?
Good morning, City Council. My name is Callie Mota. I'm a partner of Winslow & Partners. We are representing the design team. Winslow & Partners is an architectural firm with planning and interior design as well, services. And basically, the main focus of our practice has been mixed-use urban projects. And when this proposal came out, we were really excited and interested to put something together and also find the right partner as a developer, a partner that would not only be a for-profit partner, but also a partner that would understand the vision of the city and sort of the goals for this project. Real briefly, I want to introduce Paul Winslow. He is the managing partner of our firm. We also have Catherine Desit Smith in the back. We had a team of other people working on this project to try and make sure that we complied with the goals of the city and the goals also established for the RFP. I just wanted to point out to the fact that Paul Winslow is the design lead of this project because of all his experience, because his dedication to urban planning and design in within the metro area. So I'm just going to let him continue the presentation from this point on.
Thank you. You know, this is one, I have to go back to sort of a personal note in this, and that is that Callie and I, if I hug my partner, you have to understand we're also married. But sometimes that catches people off guard, and I forget that. Callie and I have taken a long-term view of the fact that continuing education and sort of understanding what's happening in the marketplace is crucial. And I think as John Graham and others have talked about, the kinds of things that are happening in Mesa are really the sign of what's happening around the world. Again, having taken a number of executive courses at Harvard a year and a half ago, we took a couple of a couple of those courses, one that was focused on urban mixed-use retail. It's kind of making sure that we're still in tune with sort of what's happening. It was interesting because the majority of the class was actually from out of the country. And what the conclusion of this was, and the presenters were typically the people who are the big names around the country and around the world in terms of doing projects. And what they're all saying is the millennials are where you want to focus. Not because of the millennials, but because the millennials are also the indicator of what the boomers are looking for. And so the idea that sort of this kind of development is really what it's all about. And so basically what it comes down to is you can buy anything online. You know, they'll deliver it to your store pretty soon. They'll be doing it with a drone. And so what really is happening is there's a change in our culture in terms of socialization, and that it's the Starbucks phenomena, if you want to call it that, that people will go now in a hotel and get a smaller room because they're not going to work in their room. They're going to go down in the lobby in the sort of the mixed-use lounge area, and they may not talk to anybody, but they're going to work along with everyone else. And so taking that that idea, this project was one that we had been working with Chicanos Puerto Casa on a very much larger mixed-use project. And when we saw this RFP come out, we thought, textbook case? I mean, you have all the stuff in place that everybody else is trying to create. You just don't have the density yet. And so part of what we were looking at with this is an opportunity to start the density intensity, the number of feet on the street kind of thing that makes it economically viable. You know, the idea that this is a place where you start to have the key elements of transportation and so forth. I'm a regular light rail user, so I do appreciate the fact I use it for business. I mean, I'm going back and forth between business opportunities. And so what we're really looking for is, or looking at this site was, boy, you have all the things that everybody is trying to do, which means that you've got the street scale, feet on the street, retail. And so now it's a matter of trying to figure out how we take that and really build community. The reason we chose and went out to talk to Chicanos Puerto Casa was that they're an idealistic group. They're for profit. The projects we've been working on are they're making money on, and this is a for real stuff. But that they get the idea of community building, and it comes from their history and their mission of community involvement and community enhancement. So for us, they were the logical ones that we went to and said, are you guys in? I said, well, they had it on their list. And so we just felt like this was absolutely the way to go, was to start to develop this gateway into Mesa. And so the keys are the pedestrian scale. The large-scale retail drive-your-car-up entity still is there, still will be there to a degree, but really it is about the walk-up. The fact that you have the base population now that you're gaining from the colleges and universities, before we knew that ASU was even in the consideration, were the kinds of things that make the difference. And it's the continuity that we see this particular project being able to do to extend to that gateway position, maybe starting to encourage a little bit of fill-in, take some of the spaces that may not be at least right at the moment, and actually adding to that. So the idea of the downtown gateway is creating something large enough that people see it happening. So what we're looking at is, well, the other thing I have to say is, the other thing that really made this for us, like, you know, no, right, the planning that you guys have done is spot on in terms of if you could take the course at Harvard that we took and write a synopsis of what you should do, you already did it. You put that plan together to actually make it so that the things you're basically requesting people to do that sometimes they do reluctantly, that's where they're going to make the most money. So to some degree, you've mandated the fact that people are going to make money because you're asking them to do the right thing.
I just want to add something real quick. When we were preparing for this proposal, Catherine and other people in our team read the code and the form-based code and the central plan as well as the vision. And out of that discussion came out, it was a delight to read this this code and this vision, because that is exactly the type of things Paul and I have been talking to other cities about, trying to set the groundwork and the infrastructure to really attract economic development. And what we felt was that the corner of Main and Country Club already has the right ingredients. It just needs more density. So we thought this is a spot-on project, and this is something we were really looking forward to working on.
Yeah, the idea of maximum lot coverage, well, I mean, that's how you get people there. You're already at the street level, just continuing that. The idea of trying to make it more than three stories, well, you know, that's what it takes in terms of density to get the number of feet on the street. The idea of the retail on the ground floor, man, we're going to be talking to the guy who's talking about the co-work space. Better believe it. That's exactly the kind of group. We actually included in this the idea of some live-work space, which not a lot, but enough that it's right there with the rest of the retail space that provides that other opportunity. And the idea of the shared parking, which means that the person who comes in the automobile can come in through the sort of gateway to the interior parking, and then basically the retail is two-sided, so that it not only addresses the street, but it also addresses the internal parking, which also makes it sort of that neighborhood eyes on the street kind of thing that even after hours is visible. The idea that the ground floor, particularly the corner, we thought was absolutely critical in terms of putting people hopefully outside at tables, that the goal would be to try and end up with a coffee kind of place or a small food service kind of thing that actually has people visible outside. So when people are going down the light rail, they can see that this isn't another automotive place or this isn't another thing where you stop and you park. This is the place where you actually come and participate.
So I would like to explain just a couple of things. The first one, that the project was planned in two phases. The first phase would be from the parking lot area down south, and it would develop the corner with all retail around, and then the top part being the live-work area. We also tried to maximize all the transit-oriented development around it, meaning the bus stop, the light rail station, really exploring the idea of supporting multimodal transportation like bicycles and other things.
One thing that's kind of unique about this, not only do we have the live-work kind of space, but because we have the parking structure and we have the retail on the ground floor, what we've chosen to do is to put the amenities for the living units on that second level, well, it's really the two levels above because the parking level isn't as high, but so that the swimming pool and the fitness center and those kinds of things are somewhat separated from the public, so that people who want to live there have that sense that it is their community, but they're part of the larger community too. It's kind of a neighborhood turned on its side so that it stacks up vertically.
Another key element of the project was the landscape and making sure that the landscape connected to the already existing urban grid and pedestrian experience on Main. And so all around it, we have areas where people can sit, where people can just gather and really, in a sense, be inspired to go to. The back, inside the parking, behind the retail, we have a pocket park that is intended to be a semi-public space. It can be accessed through the
adjacent ways to the middle retail space where we envision to have either a restaurant or a coffee shop. So in reality, the whole design of this project would be around having people want to come in, having people be part of this project and not just be an apartment building.
Part of our problem is we're enthusiastic enough about this. We're probably going to go on way too long. But the bottom line is we saw this as market rate housing that, you know, college professors and startup entrepreneurs and people who are really in the business world as the primary design, those for whom the design was created. I think the idea that, as you can see from the renderings, the idea that this is a very open public kind of space. You notice in this rendering, you see a little bicycle shop. Well, there's already a bicycle shop who wants to be here because they see the light rail stop, they see the, and so there's already sort of that generation of ideas when we really haven't even gotten approval to go. And so ultimately what we're saying is, this is the right thing at the right place at the right time. You put on ASU on top of that, and it seems to us that you really start the development that it's just going to work its way right on down to John Graham, to the university, et cetera. And so for us, we just believe you're just absolutely spot on because you did the pre-planning that set the ground rules that make a developer excited about the fact that the city is committed to doing it right and not just doing it. I'm going to turn it back over to Nick.
Yes, thanks, Paul. So how do we build a project like this? Projects that have the ability to transform cities aren't easy to do. And let's be honest, you guys put out an RFP at what we feel to be one of the most ready to develop intersections on this side of the downtown. And CPLC was the only organization that sort of stepped up to say we can do this. We are unique in our ability to develop projects like this. And through our continuous reinvestment back into the communities, CPLC will be doing more than just building a building. So who are we? CPLC is the largest community development corporation in the state of Arizona, with several offices across the Southwest, impacting nearly a quarter of a million people every year in every county within the state. Our holistic approach to community development is represented in what you see on this screen here and what we refer to internally as our four pillars. And they're economic development, education, social services, and community development or housing. And if I have one critique about us as an organization, it's probably that we don't do a great job of explaining exactly in everything that we do and that we do well. So a brief explanation of sort of our four pillars. The one that we're probably most known for throughout the valley is what we refer to as social services, what we call internally our integrated health care package. Our social service pillar employs nearly 200 people. Many of them are high-skilled doctors and nurses who staff our clinics and run our programs. We're very proud of the work we do. We've received recognition nationally. And through the partnerships and successes that we've had, we've allowed us to become a direct broker for Blue Cross Blue Shield. And recently, and most recently, allowed us to leverage a $20 million deal to revitalize a dying strip mall in the town of Maryvale, convert it to a state-of-the-art prototype community health center run by United Healthcare, that'll be the model that they intend to take across the nation. Economic development is another pillar. Folks probably are not real familiar with what we do. Through our CDFI, we provide investments to projects like the Cityscape and like the Oasis Hospital. These represent investments of over $40 million. And then on the other end of the spectrum, we invest in small businesses. We've invested over $3.2 million in just the last 2 years in small businesses. I have AEC listed on this slide. You saw them also on our team organization chart. AEC is a great story. It's a local veteran-owned engineering company that we placed an equity investment into. 2 years into being up and running, he now has five employees. and intends to open a second office in Nevada. And through our partnership, he now provides internships to high school students who may not otherwise have been exposed to the STEM curriculum. It's a great story for us. Third pillar of activities that we do that folks probably aren't familiar with are the programs that we run within our education pillar. These are things like high schools that we own and operate, as well as early education programs. These programs employ over 400 people across the state. These are teachers, these are people that work in the schools, and they impact over 1,600 children per year. And the fourth pillar is, and again, this is from our org chart, is our for-profit development arm within Chicanos por la Causa. Within our for-profit, we have Tiempo Inc., which is our property management, La Causa Development, which is the entity which I work within, La Causa Construction, which is our construction management, and La Causa Realty, which is a home builder in the Southwest. And these are some examples of the types of commercial projects that we currently own or we manage and develop. We own close to half a million square feet of commercial real estate, retail, office, medical. These are all facilities that are leased at current market rates. Some of this stuff, like the Pickle House you see on the bottom, is a renovation of a historic building in downtown Phoenix, very similar to the type of stuff that's happening in downtown Mesa. It's scheduled to be an incubator space, where we'll put our small business lending arm, which I spoke about earlier, into to help fund the type of businesses that we talked about today. And then this next image is of some of the residential properties that we currently manage, own, and operate. We have nearly 5,000 units across the state. We've developed ourselves internally close to 2,000 of these units. And of these 2,000, approximately half of them are what we would call market rate, financed through conventional means. So that brings us to where we are here today in our recognition of sort of why did we decide we wanted to come to this location and what we saw as happening. And as Paul spoke about, we saw this location, we identified it ourselves as something that we thought would be ready to develop now, that there's a market there, maybe unproven, but we think it's there existing today. And with the light rail investments that have made, we think it's just a matter of time before this area of downtown to start to redevelop. And we think our project is sort of a key piece to that. In doing so, it recognizes sort of the existing conditions that have been here, the existing continuum of housing that already exists, and we recognize that our project has to sort of fall within that. So we're providing market rate housing to go to accompany and with the existing tax credit housing that's been built recently, providing the other housing that's not provided within the tax credit spectrum. It also recognizes the existing retail that has always been on Main Street. And a big piece, and Paul mentioned as well, we have grid bikes coming to the downtown. We are working with the owners of a bike shop at the Tempe Transit Center. They run the bike cellar. It's a place to get off the light rail, park your bike. It provides showers and places to change. They've expressed interest in wanting to do the same thing at this location. And they're the types of businesses that we're going to attract. We're providing 20,000 square feet of retail at the ground floor. We could lease that to one user, but quite honestly, we see that being multiple users, very similar to the types that are currently already here. And at the same time, recognizing what's happening tomorrow, what will happen in the future. Again, we see bikes, we see walkability, we see things happening. Mesa is certainly on the move. It's attracting young people who are looking for the downtown environments. And we think our proposal provides the type of development that these sort of users will want. And I wanted to just briefly end with a discussion from our general contractor. Again, this is a downtown infill site. It's difficult to develop. And to assure you that we've assembled a team of experts who are capable of doing this type of work. You've heard from Paul. I just wanted to hear just briefly from our general contractor, Mr. White. Hal.
My name is Hal White.
Sorry, sir, you might need a microphone. Just cause we're also a television show here.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you very much for having me this morning. My name is Hal White. I'm with Big D Construction.
I apologize, Mr. White. I just don't know that anybody watching this on TV is going to be able to see you. Would you mind taking a seat at the front table there?
Let's
Thank
try
you.
It
again. I didn't know if there's a camera that got over there.
I'm not sure you want a camera on this.
Okay.
How's that?
Okay, thank you very much.
No worries. My name is Hal White. I'm Vice President and Managing Partner of Big D Construction, our regional office here in Tempe at 2055 South Cottonwood Drive. I've been with Big D for over 14 years. I've been involved in many mixed-use development projects. Our corporate office in Salt Lake City has also been involved in a lot of mixed-use projects. One of them was presented on the screen here earlier, the Westminster project, which is at Westminster College up in Salt Lake City. It's a mixed-use development of housing and retail. We've also been involved in building both phases one and two at BYU University and their student housing. We have also been involved in Legacy Village, which is a senior housing project. We are currently building the 1601 Vine project for the LDS Church in downtown Philadelphia. And I was personally involved in a two 24-story tower condominium projects with retail and townhomes in downtown Bellevue, Washington. I bring those up only because of the type of construction, but more importantly, trying to build projects of this nature in a very confined space, limited access, points of ingress and egress that are very critical to the type of construction that we'll be doing here in Mesa. I'm also very cognizant of the community and the people around me, the safety of those people. We're also very cognizant in providing protective covers and for sidewalks and netting over our scaffolding systems to keep debris from flying off of the building, et cetera, especially when you're building 24 stories in downtown Bellevue. And that was a postage stamp site in that it was one city block that we consumed, and we had to dig a 60-foot plus hole in the ground right there to put a parking structure in, and had to coordinate very closely with the city on moving the material out of that hole and moving the material into the hole and keeping the community safe, which is really important to us. I appreciate the opportunity that Winslow Partners and Chicano Por La Casa has provided the Big D. I think we can bring a lot to the table. I also wanted to say thank you to the City of Mesa and their support. For those that are not aware, we're also building a new hospital for Adeptus Dignity down on Ellsworth and Elliott, just coming up out of the ground. And we have an owner that is expecting that hospital to have the keys in their hand by January 31st of 2017. So we have a lot of work to do on that one. So look forward to this opportunity and look forward to the City of Mason moving forward with this project. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you for the presentation. Jeff, does that conclude the staff presentation? Okay, thank you.
So, just Mayor, I think just to be clear, we wanted to share this information with the council and get your comments today. But the next step really is for us to take the show on the road and go and have some community meetings and visit with the community so they can get the information they need about the project and then return to council at a future date. If the council is interested in then moving forward in more formal ways with this group.
Thank you very much. I do have a couple of blue cards. So if you don't mind, thank you. And first, council, do you have any questions for these folks? Thank you. If not, thank you very much for being here. I'd invite you to take your seats, and then I'll invite the two folks that have given us cards on this agenda item. First, David Crummy. David, thanks for being here.
Thank you, Mayor, Vice Mayor, Council. My name is David Crummy. I reside at 1339 West 1st Street here in Mesa, and I'm here representing the Retail Arts Innovation and Livability Group that is a community group here along the light rail corridor in downtown Mesa. We've been active since about 2012, and I'm here speaking in support of the intent and purpose of the RFP and to encourage the council to negotiate in good faith and with due diligence with this project. First, because it supports the community developed Central Main Plan and our downtown vision, as well as our community adopted general plan. We support the development to the intent of the form-based code. And while we like to see development approaching the maximum intensity density of the code, for example, this site is 85 feet, the proposed five-story building exceeds the three-story minimum, and we find that to be acceptable. The project needs to include an active street front with active ground floor uses, so it's great to see that included and want to make sure that that is continued. We are deeply interested in supporting the revitalization and reinvestment in our downtown and supporting the community's investment in light rail, and that includes adding density along our core, because we need to support our businesses that are in the area, and we need customers that live here and don't just visit. We also need to bring new housing options to downtown. There's nothing like this kind of development for at least 5 miles. And we don't have, again, the housing density to support our existing businesses. This would be the first Class A multifamily in the area. All of the nearby apartments are at least 30 years, if not 50 years old. New quality rental housing is an important component of a comprehensive revitalization of our community. We advocate for high quality architecture, and we think a project like this will push the rent curve in the area. The first development is always the hardest, but we know and believe in our community, and we know that new market rate development will push the current owners of subpar and dilapidated developments to improve or sell their properties so someone else can take care of that. It is very, very difficult to find quality housing that's available. If you've ever tried to move a friend or someone who wants to come and buy into downtown Mesa, I've spent countless times looking for housing for individuals that want to move here, and it's hard. It's also hard to find retail and commercial space for businesses wishing to relocate as well. This is a hard site to work with. ASU's MRED class took a look at this site about a year and a half ago. There are about 5 different projects, and it was very difficult across the board. And we think that this needs the city's help to be able to get this project, because this corner could be a transformative corner for our downtown.
Thank you. Thank you very much, David. D. Montague.
Good morning again. It happens that both of these are in my neighborhood, these projects. And I'd like to invite Heather Scantleberry to come and sit by me. Heather's also a member of the steering committee of Mesa Grande and also on the Long Range Planning Committee of Action Neighborhood Alliance. I'm here to tell you that there's been a lot of discussion about this project and what to do, and I'd like Heather to, after I'm through with a couple of comments, to share some of her thoughts, because she's very introspective on the historical aspects and also the needs of downtown. First of all, I'm familiar with Chicanos Por La Casa. When I was a student at ASU, 45 years ago, we went down and with a group and helped do tax return preparation for residents that came seeking it, and I apologize to them now. I knew very little about tax returns then, and know even less now. But I was a willing helper. One of the things that we've determined as we've looked at and studied and had reports. In order to lift the economy, you have to lift the per household income. There's some balance of that when you're in a downtown area, about feet on the street that Mr. Crumley was talking about, or that the developers are talking about. But the concern is that what kind of businesses? We don't want just the same kind of businesses that are Long Country Club. We have a proliferation of tattoo parlors, pawn shops, check cashing stores, telephone stores. We're hoping that with the city's voice and their control of the property, that by contract you would control the kinds of businesses. Now, I know that Mr. McVeigh, when he was talking to our committee here last week, we talked about it. He's very open with us and appreciate his input. The question was asked, can we control the kind of businesses? He says, not really. If it's legal, it's allowed in. But I think that we're in a different position with the city owning the property and developing the property, that we can assert some control of the kinds of businesses that come in that would lift the area and give some other options. We just don't need more of the same thing that's along Country Club and along West Main Street. That's my main concern. The second thought is that we'd like to have this coordinate with the ASU project. I think it's a beautiful, wonderful opportunity. Have Heather take her time. Yeah.
Good morning, Mayor and Council. Just one of the big things that I'll address that Dee mentioned is the historic preservation aspect. This is the corner that enters into our historic boutique-style downtown. Maintaining the integrity of that should be of utmost importance here. We already have a large number of businesses and things that don't, you know, that sort of work against the what we have going on there, and I think that turns a lot of people away. I mean, we already know that, you know, the struggle of our downtown businesses and just, you know, all the great things, if you're willing to get in that main core area, you know, all the great things that are really going on there, and this should be an extension of that and not an extension of the other things that kind of take away from that. And, you know, one of the great things we have is that our downtown is completely surrounded by historic districts. We're a little bit lacking on the south side there, but there are, you know, plans in the works to incorporate the single-family home neighborhoods on the south side of Main Street as a historic district. So whatever housing is intended there really should, you know, go be complementary to our single-family historic homes. I know we're trying to increase the density of, you know, along the light rail, but I think in this particular location, we have to be especially considerate of our single family, you know, of our historic single family homes there. I don't think that would be the best location for the highest, you know, possible density. I think about the bungalow, inside the bungalow coffee shop sitting next to what is a very nice, you know, senior housing building that's 11 stories or so. You know, having a building of that size right next to a little single-family bungalow, I don't think we should do anything else like that. I don't think that that's the best way to achieve the increased density to downtown. And additionally, one of my concerns about this housing is, I understand it's not a low-income housing tax credit project, but it is subject to market conditions. And the market around this area, and I did, you know, I sent you by email an explanation on this, is that our market conditions in the area currently are not very good, and most of our apartment rentals, all of them within, you know, a quarter mile to three-quarter mile of this property are accepting a great number of housing vouchers from not just Section 8 vouchers, but of many, many different social service, you know, agencies and organizations that provide housing vouchers to subsidize rents. That's a big concern that this property could also become a subsidized, you know, property in essence through these housing vouchers because of the market. Again, we need to increase the area median income, that we need to increase the residents, you know, that live in the area and with a higher income. So, you know, at bottom level, we need to have the rents be, you know, geared towards those that are middle and upper income. You know, for mixed use, we have plenty of low income housing already. So if we're going to put any housing in there, let's gear it towards the middle and upper income, you know, spectrum. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Jeff, if you don't mind, do you want to respond to the question that Mr. Montague asked about to what extent can the city contractually with the developer exercise some control on the types of businesses that might locate in this building?
Yes, Mayor, Council, Mr. Montague is exactly right. No, we have every authority through the ownership of our land.
Okay.
Every authority through the ownership of our land to enter into a contractual agreements. And we would work in good faith.
I knew Jeff could handle this one, you guys. Look, come on. Go ahead.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity to answer that one.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Say it again.
So the answer is?
Yes, we have every authority to enter into contractual agreements that would allow us to limit land uses to those that are supportive of the active retail and landscape that we're trying to create in downtown.
Okay. Thank you very much. So obviously, I think staff's suggestion at this point, and one that I concur with, is that much like Site 17 that we discussed a few weeks ago, much like ASU we discussed a few minutes ago, it's important that we engage in community involvement and in community engagement on this, and we get a lot of it. Isn't it great to have this problem? I mean, we're having long city council meetings discussing development proposals for downtown Mesa. That's great. So going forward, we need to, I think, establish a great model of we work with the community and in West Mesa and in downtown and exhaust every comment that they might want to share with us before we take action on these types of projects. So I think that's what staff is suggesting, is that the next step on this is to engage with the community. This is a new idea. West Mesa, downtown Mesa, is not used to urban, high-density, transit-oriented development. This is something that just literally hasn't happened yet. And so we need to get comfortable with it. We need the community to look at it and kick it and talk about it and disagree about it, and so that we can develop some comfort over it. So,
Mayor, real quickly, this really is the first time we're working on a significant proposal at a light rail station. So this whole concept of us setting the kind of the expectations, the densities, and the interaction at, you know, near a light rail station intersection is significant for us.
Yeah. Mr. Cavanaugh.
Thank you. First of all, a great presentation by staff and Chicanos por la Causa. You all have an excellent reputation for doing great projects and great involvement in the community. This intersection, some of us have had a very long history with this intersection. And 20 years ago when I came on council, the gateway to the community was a series of burned out buildings where drug deals and prostitution was occurring. It was the intersection, it was the parcel that was identified by the entire community as one that was most in need of redevelopment. And wow, it sure takes a long time to go through a lot of different ups and downs to get to this point. But again, the thing that is exciting, this is new market rate housing. Listen to what I'm saying. Some of us have suggested we're idiots at times in terms of looking at projects on a case-by-case basis. But really, as a council member, we look at our community holistically, and we have a lot of projects that we look at the same time. This is all part of the mix. And I think it's an important lesson for the community is maybe don't criticize until you see what it is. And I'll give you a perfect example. As part of my work, both with National League of Cities and with Metro Rail, I've interacted over the years with observing what's going on in Plano, Texas. 20 years ago, that was a city with a dead downtown. It was it's a large suburban community in the Dallas area, but its downtown was dead. It had no mass transit. The shops had all gone to the malls. And over the course of time, rail came to Plano. And I was had the opportunity to go there back in 2008 when I first came in, and I saw their light rail station. There still wasn't very much there, but what they had built right by the light rail station was a project exactly like this, and I got to go back last summer to see what had happened 7 years later. And all around the area, again, new market rate housing, some apartments, some condo or owner-occupied housing, new businesses, new restaurants, new support, festivals going on in their area. The combination of the light rail and that first project that the city took a gamble on, that first project was done very well. It had structured parking, such as you're talking about here. That created a tremendous catalyst for the gateway into their old historic downtown. The historic character of that downtown really has remained and been enhanced, and I think this project has great potential. I think as you move forward with the community discussions, people will understand the wisdom of approaching it like this and what the opportunity a project like this can make. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Cavanaugh. Mr. Luna.
First of all, I want to recognize Jo Wilson because she led the downtown visioning committee, and I can't help by one of the things that Charles Humantle said is that when you're going into a downtown area, you really need to have something that really tells what Mesa's all about. This is exactly what we need. It's an apartment complex. It's transformative. It's exciting. And I also appreciate Paul Winslow's comments about millennials. They really disrupted living. And what I mean by that is that they changed the way we live. You know, older people like big spaces, want to move around. The millennials, they don't require that. I like the fact that they're looking at how they can gather together and socialize in communal areas. That's really cool, so I really appreciate that. And also, relative to Chicanos por la Causa, they've been our organization has been here a long time. They have a proven track record, and I appreciate all they've done in the community. So thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Thompson.
Yeah, I think this is a beautiful project. And my concern is not so much about the type of project or the project itself, but the process that we're going through. I absolutely hate going out and doing RFPs for property. And I especially hate going out and doing RFPs for property that we don't own. I keep going back to, are we real estate speculators? And that seems to be where we continue to fall. And, you know, if we have property, we're interested in getting it developed, let's stick a for sign sale on it and let's sell it to the person that's going to offer us the most money for it. And then go, you know, then we can utilize our zoning and our planning and our overlays and form-based codes and so forth to help control what develops there. But RFPs, I mean, gosh, this is like the second RFP we've had, and we've had one person come back. The previous one, we've had two. To me, that is not allowing the market to dictate what builds there. And so we have to get away from doing RFPs, and that's my only issue.
Thank you, Mr. Fenter.
Wonderful. Here's my takeaways. We have a proposal for a $42 million complex on that corner. They have a top-notch design firm, top-notch construction group. The individual CPLC is got a great reputation in the community. I only understood them to be under the service parts of that pillar. Now I know better that they have this development arm. I would suggest that you lead with the development arm. Took me a little while to get to when in that presentation go, oh, I get it now, they've got that. So first thing out of the block I would do is, hey, we are developers. We do a good job. This is market rate, gorgeous building. I think the pro forma, I was running through it here, that's presented is going to be the driving force of what those market rate housing is going to be. They are not going to build this for $42 million and let it go into a sub-market type of, it won't pencil. You won't be in business very long if you do that. So I think that's going to be the driving force. Three letters of finance interest. You know, I said, could it be? This is the first one we've been waiting for, and an amazing complex. So I'm excited, but I think it's really important. I agree with the mayor and others. Get this community feedback. Lead with the right things so they understand. This isn't a social service approach, although you do God's work in what you do in that area. This is a top-notch developer that's proven in the community, in the valley. So looking forward to it. Thank you.
Thank you. Amen to that. What's the next step, Jeff?
So, Mayor, Council, the next step is that we as staff will work hand in hand with the development team to get some community meetings scheduled, open houses, opportunities for the community to come out, give us their feedback. We'll do that at least one or two of those, maybe more, and then we'll be able to come back report to the council on what the feedback that we received, and hopefully that will lead into a memorandum of understanding that would allow us to enter into negotiations with the development team to get land control and then get into those details about what the development actually will be.
Great. Thank you very much. Council, any other questions for Mr. McVeigh or anyone else? Thank you very much. This is not on our agenda for action, so we'll just endorse what you've just said and look forward to hearing more about it at a future date. Next item on our agenda is information about the current job order contracting projects. Council, any questions regarding those? Seeing none, next item is to acknowledge receipt of minutes of boards and committees. Moved and seconded. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Next item is hear reports on meetings and conferences attended. Mr. Luna.
Just really quick, I want to acknowledge both police and fire. I attended the Aspire Girls program over at the training grounds, and I was really impressed with our personnel working with these young girls. You know, these young girls that actually attended the camp, if you will, they could have been spending their spring break doing nothing. But they came to the city of Mesa to work with our police and fire women personnel to learn about public safety. And there were 27 girls. So I just want to give kudos to Sherry Burlingame, Kim Scott, Mary Camelli, Diana Williams, and all those volunteers that helped those young girls learn about public safety.
Thank you very much, Council. Hearing Mr. Luna talk about that event reminded me that I think it was yesterday he and I went to a Mesa fire station and had a press event talking about this Safe Baby Haven program. As we know, there was a very troubling event about a week ago in our community where a newly born baby was abandoned in the yard of a home in West Mesa. Obviously very heartbreaking story and an event all around. But it provides us with an opportunity to remind the public, and particularly the young women in our community, that there's a legal process already in place for that situation, and that babies can be left no questions asked at fire stations and at other public safety locations and at hospitals to avoid that very dangerous situation of abandoning your baby in that type of a situation. So that's an important, that's a troubling message, but a message that we have to continually push out to the community so that people that find themselves in that situation understand what their options are. So thank you for attending that with me, Mr. Luna. Next item on our agenda is scheduling of meetings and general information. Mr. Brady.
Thank you, Mayor. Just a reminder, the next council meeting will be Monday, March 21st. Also today, we'll be launching our Mesa Bike Share Program grid. That'll be at 10 a.m. in front of the Mesa City Plaza building. And also invite everyone out to SPARC, Mesa's Festival of Creativity. Take place on the campus of the Mesa Arts Center Friday the 18th and 19th from noon until 10 p.m. And it's a free event.
Thank you. Council, if there's no other items, I'd entertain a motion to adjourn. Thank you. Moved and seconded. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Thank you. We are adjourned.